George Van Tassel was used to sleeping light. He ran an airfield way out in the Mojave Desert, and it wasn't unusual for pilots to show up at all hours landing their plane. Something could be broken, maybe somebody needs fuel. You get the idea. And that's how it went on the evening of August 24th, 1953. George was not particularly surprised to be woken up at around 2 in the morning. Picture a figure backlit in the doorway. George saying groggily, "What do you want?" The man introduced himself. He said his name was Sogonda, and he wanted George to come with him so that he could see what he had flown in on. George got out of bed and followed Sogonda outside. And there in the airfield was Solganda's craft, this weird bell-shaped ship hovering up above the ground. George couldn't believe it. He went to stand underneath it to see it up close. And then he said, "An anti-gravity beam took me up through a hole in the bottom of the craft." What happened to George on that ship would change the course of his life. And it would also change the course of this little patch of Mojave Desert. Because as George says, Sogonda gave him instructions. Instructions to build a machine that could slow down time and rejuvenate human life. I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we are going out to the Mojave Desert, where George Van Tassel claimed that he made contact with an advanced alien life form. And after that evening, he would spend the next 2 decades of his life making Sogonda's visions come true. And in its own way, that project is still going on out there in the desert. We're taking a trip to the Integratron after this.
Autograph Collection Hotels offers over 300 independent hotels around the world, each exactly like nothing else. Hand-selected for their inherent craft, each hotel tells its own unique story through distinctive design and immersive experiences, from medieval falconry to volcanic wine tasting. Autograph Collection is part of the Marriott Bonvoy portfolio of over 30 hotel brands around the world. Find the unforgettable at autographcollection.com.
At U.S. Bank, when we say we're in it with you, we mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows, and decision-making. We're in to help you through all of it, because together, we're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
I love being able to, you know, be in this vast landscape that is so beautiful and so extreme and lovely.
This is Michael Aquino. He and his mom and his aunts and really the whole family, they are involved in keeping George Van Tassel's project going out there off in the desert. And it's the desert that drew both them and George Van Tassel out to this remote area in the first place.
Looking around this area, you're going to see just gorgeous mountains, the most beautiful sunsets ever. If there's any clouds in the sky at sunset, they just turn, you know, craziest pinks and purples. There is kind of a unique and incredible feeling. Like you do just want to stay.
George Van Tassel first came to the Mojave basically by accident. As a young man in the 1930s, he moved out to California from Ohio, and then he went to work in his uncle's garage in Santa Monica. He was an auto mechanic. And one fateful day, a strange guy named Frank Kreitzer came wandering in.
Frank Kreitzer. Today would be, you know, kind of an eccentric hermit is what he's been described as. But At the time, he was actually going out to prospect and wanted to be a miner out here.
Frank was having car trouble, so George fixed him up and sent him on his way, probably not thinking too much about it. But a little while later, he heard from Frank.
He told George to come out. There's something about this place that you need to see.
So George drove out to meet Frank out in the desert. Today, it's about a 4-hour drive from Santa Monica. When George arrived, he found this huge 7-story boulder called Giant Rock.
George really was enamored with this place. There was something about Giant Rock, about the desert, you know, and also him being in the city and I mean, he called it the rat race. He did want to get out eventually.
Frank had set up a whole life for himself out at Giant Rock. He had carved a little cave apartment for himself under the rock. He built an airstrip, he dug some roads. And Frank was an eccentric guy. He was also really into radio. And in the 1940s, he found himself in trouble with the government, with local authorities, who didn't like all this radio equipment he had out there, because they thought that he might be a German spy. There is zero evidence of this. The exact details of how this went down are complicated, but it seems that in 1942, there was a skirmish with local police who were trying to get him to leave his cave apartment, perhaps fired into the cave apartment and set off a dynamite blasting cap. What we do know is that Frank was killed in this dynamite explosion. After Frank died, George was pretty beat up about it. And he decided that what he wanted to do was go back out to the desert, to the area where Frank had been living, and to stay there for good.
He kind of took it over. He took over the, you know, the use of the airport. Him and his wife actually built a little restaurant out there called the Come On Inn. They serve burgers, coffee, and the best apple pie on the planet Earth is what it's described as.
Something changed for George out there in the desert. He started running these Friday night meditation sessions in Frank's old cave, or what was left of it. And George became convinced that he was being contacted. He wrote a book about it. It's called I Rode a Flying Saucer. He claims he started to get these messages telepathically from intelligent beings from outer space. He said they were worried about Earth, about the atom bomb, about the hydrogen bomb, about all the ways that humans could annihilate each other. And then in 1953, these intelligent beings didn't just contact him telepathically. They showed up at his door.
Specifically, one named Solgonda, who said to him, human beings don't live long enough or become wise enough to not kill themselves. So he was going to teach him how to build a machine that was going to extend human life.
Now, exactly how George was supposed to do that was a little unclear.
You know, it wasn't like Solgonda said, this is exactly how you need to build the building. It was like, here's the potential idea of what needs to happen. And then he took his engineering prowess and basically and created this design himself.
The design George landed on was a wooden dome, about 40 feet high and 60 feet wide, painted all white on the outside. When you walk in, it's just a big open cylindrical space with a column in the middle. But take 10 steps up to the second story, and then
you're in this magnificent, massive wooden chamber, and the whole entire thing is completely made out of wood. Like in the original construction, there are no nails, there's no metal.
The building became known as the Integratron. Michael, who's got a background in construction, says the thing is really solidly built. George had a lot of friends in engineering and building, thanks to his work at the airfield, and they helped him out, including even the reclusive billionaire Howard Hughes, who had a big-time aviation hobby.
That's where all the wood came from, was actually Howard Hughes' shipyards in Washington.
But still, over time, the project got expensive. And this was just the shell, after all. George still had to do the life extension piece. So George realized, okay, I've got to do a little bit of fundraising.
the thing that paid for the Integratron were these UFO conventions. It's massively popular back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, at one point there was, you know, up to 15, 20,000 people that would come out to Giant Rock.
George started throwing annual UFO conventions, like some of the very first ever thrown. He was the main draw, but they kind of took on a life of their own. In 1957, a photojournalist from Life went down to document one, and he found all these people sharing their own experiences of UFO contact. People selling flying saucer shirts and alien trinkets, singing UFO-related songs, sharing supposed secret government documents proving that UFOs existed. And as Michael notes, all of this was happening at a time when there was just a lot of anxiety about the future and what it held.
Not only just getting out of the world wars, you know, but then the threat of more and more war kind of all the time. It was a lot, you know, so to have a space to come out and feel like there's a lot more than just us, it was massively important. And George really believed that.
So the money from these conventions kept George going. Once the shell of the Integratron was done, it was time to focus on the machinery. This would be the Integratron's true purpose, as Solgonda said, to rejuvenate human life, to slow down time, to let people learn the lessons they wouldn't otherwise have time to learn.
So, yeah, basically, it was an energy rejuvenation machine using the building itself as its own electrical generator. And in the center of the building was going to be a massive Tesla coil, which is going to actually be powered by the building. So what this was going to do was concentrate that energy so much into the downstairs of the Integratron. You would walk in through the main door that you walk in now, stand on this one side for 10 to 15 minutes, and then walk out the other door. And by doing that, it would be so effective that it would actually rejuvenate the cells of your body, and which would essentially be giving you longer life.
Now, what would have actually happened if anyone ever built and turned this thing on is a different story.
What we've come to learn is that many physicists have said if this thing was actually turned on as kind of being a massive unprotected generator of energy, that it would create a pulse of energy that would probably knock out electricity for 15 miles.
George worked on the Integratron for the next 20 years. But then in 1976, he died suddenly from a heart attack. He was only 67 years old.
Now, when he died, and it was a pretty sudden death, all of that equipment, whether it was sold off, confiscated, or stolen, we don't really know. So what we're left with is the shell of it, which still is absolutely incredible. And what we use it for is still pretty in line with George's teachings. It's just healing in a different way.
After George's death, his widow offloaded the Integratron onto a man named Emil Canning, who continued using the building and its grounds for UFO sky watches and other metaphysical seminars and retreats, guided meditation, past life regressions, classic California New Age stuff. This is when Michael's mom, Nancy Carl, and her sisters, Joanne and Patricia, got involved. Beginning in the late 80s, the Carl sisters started coming out to these retreats, and they just fell in love with the place. In the late 90s, they brought Michael out there to check it out.
As a teenager, it was like, where are we? Why are we doing this? It's in the middle of the desert. There's nothing around here. But honestly, I can say after that first experience, I'd always wanted to come back. There's a draw to the Integratron that is it's a little unexplainable. It just has its own like magnetic presence.
So in 2000, the Carl sisters ended up buying the Integratron, and they actually realized that it really did have some magical properties. That big wooden chamber on the top floor has unbelievably good acoustics. Somebody brought a crystal bowl up there one day.
All of a sudden, there was a sound you could only explain when you're in the space. It was almost, if you could play a crystal ball inside of a cello while you're inside of there, that's kind of what it sounds like. It's just everything is amplified and enhanced and warmed by this incredible building.
Today, if you visit the Integratron, one of the main things to experience there is what's called a sound bath. You lie on a mat in the sound chamber, and the Carl sisters play a series of 22 crystal bowls. Some of the bowls play the same note at the same time, but at different frequencies. It all creates this phenomenon called binaural rhythms or binaural beats. It can have a kind of calming, meditative effect on the brain. It's not exactly the rejuvenation machine that Solganda or George Van Tassel had in mind, but it's definitely something.
There's always potential for these sounds, these vibrations to just take you out somewhere, you know, and we never know where anybody's going to go. The way that people go in is not the way that people come out. Whatever you bring to the sound bath, you might leave with it or you might not. Who knows? That's part of the mystery we like to keep alive, is that, you know, you will be getting something when you come here, but it's up to you and it's kind of up to the space of what you're going to leave with.
You can book a sound bath experience at the Integratron online. And while you may not come into contact with Solganda or aliens, it is an awesome, weird place. And a giant rock is just a stone's throw away. The whole region is great and filled with weirdness. Head out to Landers, California. Visit the Integratron. It is a metaphysical trip. This episode was produced by Amanda McGowan. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The people who make our show include Doug Baldinger, Chris Naka, Camille Stanley, Johanna Mayer, Manolo Morales, Baudelaire, Gabby Gladney, Amanda McGowan, Alexa Lim, Casey Holford, and Luce Fleming. Our theme music is by Sam Tyndall. And if you like the show, please, please give us a review and rating wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you know, like, subscribe, follow. Never miss an episode. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
So many options for toilet paper. Quintuple ply? This roll is titanium enforced. This one is made from elderly trees? Is that good?
Just grab Angel Soft. It's simple, soft, and strong. And for any budget.
Angel Soft. Soft and strong. Simple.